As children settle into a new school year, Morning Edition will spend Tuesdays this month talking about childhood and what it means these days. Every generation thinks its childhood was simpler. NPR special correspondent Susan Stamberg begins her series with the overscheduled child.
When raising children became a verb, parenting, it was a signal that the lives of parents and children were changing, especially in middle-class homes where software programs let infants poke at computers and ambitious to-do lists rule the days of older children, after-school lessons in ballet, drama, tennis. Small wonder that Girl Scouts can now earn stress-less badges. In Tallahassee, Florida, sixth grader Emily Moline has 2 to 3 hours a day of homework, plus soccer, piano lessons, cello lessons, Hebrew lessons. How do you relax, Emily?
Well, I like cuddling with my doggy. And I sometimes just, you know, stress break, I go outside and I water plants.
And when plant therapy doesn't work, 11-and-a-half-year-old Emily Moline takes stronger measures.
Sometimes I just want to scream, and I go outside, and I just, ah! Sometimes it just makes me feel better.
Do you ever think about giving up one or two of the things that you're doing?
I've thought about it, but I've just been with most of these activities for so long, and I just liked them so much, I just couldn't think of not doing them. I just wish that maybe I just didn't have as much homework.
Emily's 8-year-old sister Lily is almost as busy with piano, drama, Sunday school, soccer. Their mother, June Wiaz, does a lot of driving.
No worse than other people in my position and, you know, other moms with 3 or 4 or more kids. You know, I think that's just the way it's done these days.
Do you ever feel that it's just too much?
Yeah.
Too much for you, too much for them?
Yes. And, you know, and I've thought a lot about this. I could keep my kids out of these activities, but then there wouldn't be any kids around for them to play with.
Why not?
Because everybody else has their kids scheduled for after school. A lot of people have their kids doing something every day.
The busyness of today's families alarms child psychiatrist Alvin Rosenfeld. His book, The Overscheduled Child, cautions against this loving rush to pour so much time, money, and energy into our kids.
If you say, you know, I'm not going to sign my kid up for soccer this season, you get this response from neighbors of, oh, you're not, well, you know, Harvard is, well, okay. As if you're sort of just shy of child abuse and going to deprive your kid of an elite education.
And they say, you know, think about Harvard to parents who have a 7-year-old who wants to play soccer?
Oh, for sure, because these kids are often knowing by the time they're in 3rd to 5th grade that this might be a way to get into Harvard or Yale or Princeton or Stanford, that this is the route to an elite education.
Yeah. Talk some about what it does to our children. The message really is you need to take these piano lessons, you need to improve yourself, and what's the underlying message? Because you're not good enough?
Of course, that's the underlying message. Every kid knows it. But also, there are other underlying messages. There are underlying messages that you need to be an overscheduled workaholic all your life or you're never going to make it. Mm. There's a message that reflection and creativity, real creativity, are not valued because they take introspective ability. There's a message that reflection is no good. There's a message that you must always be in motion. The times which our religions and our philosophies have told us we need downtime, mm-hmm. we need a Sabbath, we need time to just think, to be with our families, to be with ourselves, has gotten eroded.
You're just reminding me of being a very little girl lying on my stomach in the grass someplace and doing absolutely nothing for hours on end. And when I think back on the luxury of that and also realize I wasn't doing nothing.
You were not doing nothing. You were creating your world.
Yeah.
I remember being a boy of 10 or 11 years old up in the Catskills in some bungalow colony, wandering through a forest and finding a piece of gray cloth. In my mind, this piece of gray cloth belonged to a dead Confederate soldier. Mm-hmm. And I created a whole world around that little piece of gray cloth, never bothering to think that, you know, Confederate soldiers never did come to, you know, mid-New York. But it didn't matter to me because it was my world.
Yeah. Parents adore their children, and what's wrong with them having high hopes and tremendous ambitions for them?
Everything's right with it, and I think a kid needs to have a sense that their parent expects them to make something of their lives. But what's necessary for that is also a feeling that I have my parent inside me and they believe in me. And what's happened is that parents have been made anxious. They're unable to feel confident that their kid's going to make something in life. Rather, they greet them with an anxious message. Mm-hmm. I know that this is done with the best intentions. This is done by loving people. But I also know which road is paved with the best intentions.
Do you think, however, that at the base of all of this is a lot of insecurity and also guilt on the part of parents? First of all, not sure, because the parents themselves may be used to excelling, not sure of their competence in raising children, and also, on the other side of it, guilt for not being around all the time because busy with work, careers.
Well, Susan, I think you're absolutely right about the insecurity. We're very insecure about ourselves as people. We have trouble believing in ourselves and that we have inside of ourselves what our kids really need. And yet I know, as a child psychiatrist, that what our kids really need is us. And what I wish parents could get a sense of is it doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be good enough. It just has to be you being with your kid. But there's another element. I think many of us were raised with sort of benign neglect. We had lots of free time and no organized time. And the idea that our parents might show up at one of our high school basketball games rather than go to a family night with their sibs was impossible. We were secondary in their lives in a way, and adults came first. And we promised through the 60s and 70s we'd do it differently. And that was all for the good. And yet I think we've gone overboard. But there's another deprivation we give our kids in the middle of this. And that's that they're deprived of seeing adults being adults. Once upon a time, we went to college, we talked about music, we talked about art, we talked about sports, we talked about political matters, we talked about the world. Now all our kids really see us talking about is children's events, how to schedule them, how to get to them. And the kid has become the center of the universe. You know, it starts with His Majesty the fetus and goes from there on. I love my kids and sacrifice for them considerably. Yet, I think that one of the only good effects of September 11th was finally our kids learned that the world is serious and they saw us talking about serious matters as adults. Because they're going to grow up someday and they're going to have to be adults and they will model themselves on us.
Dr. Alvin Rosenfeld with Nicole Wise. He's author of the book, The Overscheduled Child, Avoiding the Hyperparenting Trap. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News, Washington.